For many of us, the Lenten season began on Wednesday evening with a dark smudge of a cross across our forehead. We were reminded that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. The words were a sobering reminder, as one person wrote this week, "Dust wins." Dust wins, she wrote. Dust holds power over our plans, our persona, our perceptions. The cross on our forehead proclaims we are not God, we are dust. I suppose most of us could illustrate the truth of our own dustiness by telling stories of our own aches and pains and troubles and colds that remind us that we are all in the decaying and dying process. Each year, Lent brings us back to that reality that we are humans, we are mortals, we are of the earth. In fact, this year, everyone else joins the Christian faith and around the world by having our fears on high alert, because we are all susceptible to a deadly virus that no one has found the cure for yet. We're all at risk. And the Christian church says beyond our physical limitations and vulnerabilities, we're spiritually at risk as well, because we've been infected with that sin virus. In fact, we fall short not only of God's expectations for us, we fall short of our own expectations for us. And so in this season of fear and anxiety, we come to the season of Lent and we receive this season really as good news. It's like getting a checkup on our souls. We go to the doctor, God, and we say, is my life in balance? Is my life in balance? What habits and practices are good ones to keep? Where do I need to regain some discipline in my life? What is not healthy? How can I be more faithful? Lent invites us into this holy examination of our own hearts and souls. But our own hearts and souls are rather abstract sorts of things, and sometimes we need tangible physical practices that illustrate our commitment to change our hearts and our souls. Like, we come to worship and we experience the bread and the cup this morning. It's something symbolic, something physical, tangible, that reminds us of this living relationship that we have with Jesus, that our energy and strength comes from having Jesus inside. When Jesus says, take and eat, this is my body, this is my lifeblood, take it inside you, there's where your strength comes from. During Lent, we often hear folks saying what they're giving up, like chocolate or sugar or coffee, or fasting on Wednesdays over lunch, or eating meat or not eating meat on Fridays, or more contemporary versions, you know, giving up Netflix or Facebook, or deleting some app on your phone. But it doesn't take somebody else long to say or think to themselves, well, these little acts of discipline aren't really the point, right? They're not, these physical disciplines are not what Lent is all about. Lent is more spiritual, it's holy work, it's about repentance and self-examination, it's finding ways to increase our faithfulness and obedience to God. And then we say in the desert, well, Jesus wasn't tempted with coffee and chocolate, and saying no to that. Jesus didn't fast in the desert for 40 days for, to lose weight or some health fad. It was about God. Adam and Eve's original temptation wasn't just whether or not to have a snack after supper, it was whether to cross the boundary and eat off that forbidden tree. And yet it was a physical sort of choice. It was a food choice that Adam and Eve and Jesus were tempted with. It was forbidden fruit. After 40 days without food, Jesus was tempted to turn those stones into loaves of bread, fresh bread. The food choice may seem trivial, simple, but it was holy because of who was asking the question, the context. Would Adam and Eve listen to God or to the serpent? Would Jesus listen to the devil or to God's voice? in both Bible stories, we're reminded of really the choice to be human and not to go into God's territory, because it's easy for most of us to cross the line, to want to be like God, to give into our hungers, to satisfy our hungers, or maybe like a herd of cows or sheep, just keep nibbling our way into lostness, just keep eating our way into forbidden territory. For like Adam and Eve's temptation illustrates, to be human is to be curious, to wonder about a few things, to be attracted by the beauty of the fruit and the adventure on the other side, and what would it be like to know more than we can really know, to be like God. Teams in baseball have always tried to steal the signs or the signals from the opposing team, but well, the Houston Astros crossed the line when they set up cameras and made it turned a sport into something scientific. And athletes from, well, the very beginning of all stripes have wanted to be more than human and have tried injecting various substances into their bodies to cross a line to be more than who they humanly are. Performance-enhancing drugs. It's a temptation of our first parents, a temptation for all of us to try to be more than human. And all of us follow after in our own ways. And so we need this season of Lent to sort of put up some boundaries and reestablish the barriers, the lines of our lives, some physical holy discipline which reminds us of our spiritual disciplines, to be paying attention to God. How can we resist the forbidden fruit or turning stones into bread in our own lives, or turning to bread when we're hungry, or cake, or cookies, or chocolate? What are you giving up for Lent? We sometimes ask each other. What are you taking on this season? What are you doing to restore a bit of spiritual discipline into your life, to flex your moral muscles and exercise those muscles this season? No action really is too small or insignificant if we're doing it for the right reasons. Imagine if we gave up 2 hours of watching TV a week or a movie. What would we do with the extra time? Of course, these things can ring hollow. They can be superficial exercises that never really change the fabric of our spiritual lives. As one person writes this season, it's much easier to read a book on prayer than it is to spend time leisurely speaking with God in heaven. It's much easier to fast from certain foods than it is to turn from the idols of our hearts. It's much easier to write a check to charity than it is to spend time in ministries of mercy. In other words, it is easy to trivialize our practices, our repentance, and our obedience without doing anything to change that overall relationship with the holy. As someone else has written, the point of Lent is not to give up chocolate, it's to give up sin. Okay. And yet, how are we doing that? How are we giving up sin? Because we're not purely spiritual beings either. We're flesh and blood, made from the dust of the earth. We're physical, human beings. And sometimes a concrete act like kneeling in prayer, like some of us remember growing up, helps us focus on God in a new way. Or maybe sometimes laying on the floor trying to stretch out our aching back muscles might be just the opportunity to talk to God about other aches and pains in our own lives or our own world. It is the right position, after all, to remember that we are dust. We benefit from these object lessons, like giving up something tangible that illustrates our relationship with God and what we intend to do and what we mean to do in our relationship with the holy. Rene Manga sent me a video clip this week of a preacher using a tangible illustration as a way to make a point, holding up a box of cookies, like maybe Girl Scout cookies, and or holding up a paper bag that had nothing on it and said, which one would you buy if you go to a store and you want cookies? Of course, you would buy the one that's illustrated very clearly on the outside. You wouldn't take a chance on an empty bag. And the preacher then used that illustration to make the point that other people do actually see our lives, and our lives make a difference in what they communicate. It's not just what's in the inside that is important, it's what we're demonstrating and showing to other people and how we're living our lives. Once a month, we need to touch a piece of bread, and we need to taste a sip of juice to remember that Jesus is alive and present in us, even when we can't feel that God is with us. Indeed, the early church mystics, fathers and mothers, would remind us that God often meets us in the very act and discipline of saying no to some of our favorite things. And of course, then there are much deeper spiritual things we ought to resist and deal with as well. One person wrote some time ago that she doesn't always practice the discipline of giving something up for Lent, but one year she gave up desserts, and then another year she only had orange juice and water for breakfast. But this particular year, she sensed God was saying, well, why don't you give up worry? Why worry, she thought. Why would God ask me to give up worry? I'm so good at worry. How could God call her to give up something she was so good at? There were so many good people in her life worth worrying about. And yet she realized that she was crossing over into God's territory when she would worry and wonder about these good people in her lives. Because, as she writes, worry either assumes God doesn't know what's going on in that person's life or that God is incapable of addressing my concerns of what's going on in that other life. As we reflect on our own lives this season, where are the places maybe that we're crossing the line into God's territory, like worry? Where do we need to set up some boundaries and establish again some lines of where we are as humans and what is really God's territory? What does it mean to be human, to live on our side of the line and not have to do God's work? Can we really examine ourselves in a holy light to see more clearly our own limitations and failures and where we're falling short? Of course, we all struggle with basic physical things like food and sweet things. We want comfort, we want security, we want our own discretionary time to do what we want to do. We all long for positive, close relationships with other people. Maybe giving up chocolate for Lent is a good place to start. Jesus just gave up turning stones into bread. And in doing so, Jesus also chose not to win fame and popularity by doing these sorts of things for people, not jumping off the temple pinnacle to wow the crowds. Jesus resists the urge to grasp for power by bowing down to the devil and says no. And also by quoting the scriptures back to the devil. Jesus could have fed his every hunger, could have played Superman with the temple steeple, could have called the shots of all the kingdoms of the earth, but he refused to cross the line. So what might we do? Maybe in addition to saying no to chocolate and coffee and a few other things, there are other ways we can pay attention to our lives and our relationship with God and to maybe practice some holy disciplines this season for 40 days or maybe longer. Traditionally, the season of Lent is observed in four basic ways. Maybe one of these ways will ring true for you or give you an idea of something you might want to take up or let go of this season. The first traditional way Lent is often observed is by self-examination, inviting ourselves into this pattern of looking at our lives. Are we seeking first the kingdom? How is our prayer life? How's our devotional life? Maybe we do well to spend 5 minutes a day in devotion, prayer, meditation, silence, some form of paying attention to God. For 40 days, can I practice, even beyond that 5 minutes a day, somehow paying attention to God, cultivating an awareness of God in my daily life? Lent is a good time to take on a new spiritual exercise. A second basic area is a fine renewal through self-denial, saying no to something, cutting out some physical or spiritual junk food that we think maybe is nourishing us when really it's not. It's just a very poor substitute for God. Where might we find that spiritual, physical junk food? There are all kinds of things lure us and attract us. It could be music. It could be, well, the major sins like alcohol. It could be the latest headlines that stir up anxiety and fear. Saying no to something, maybe to pay more attention to God. A third basic area for exercise or discipline, renewal this season, is taking up some act of compassion. Lent is a good time to ask God to fill you with compassion for other people, for your neighbors, for the less fortunate, for the oppressed, maybe a more diligent focus on the people around you. Perhaps families would consider giving the equivalent of a meal a day to an organization, MANA or Mennonite Central Committee, or maybe actually showing up at some place to spend an hour a week in some act of kindness as a volunteer. Compassion, an act of compassion. And a final area where we can find renewal maybe is just opening our eyes to God's grace, paying attention to God, maybe starting a gratitude journal for the season of Lent, paying attention to how God's grace is intersecting with my life. Someone has said that really these holy disciplines of Lent can make us more cranky. Giving up chocolate and coffee can make us miserable, maybe even give us a headache. So how are we cultivating God's grace in the midst of the discipline? Maybe looking for God's grace in Scripture, in prayer, in our worship service, with God's people. And even as we practice celebrating communion, how God's grace meets us in these practices of the church. Friends, this season of the year offers us 40 days to pay attention to our lives, to God's life in us, to walk with Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days for self-examination and self-denial, 40 days to practice compassion and opening our eyes to God's grace. We have 40 days of working at controlling some area of life that has gotten away from us. 40 days to spend time alone with God. And the good news, friends, is that God meets us in our discipline. God meets us. Jesus walks with us as we walk with Jesus. Jesus has stood up to the evil in the world and all the wrong. Jesus has passed the test. Jesus goes with us. That is good news, friends. Thanks be to God.